Baruch Hashem b'siyata d'shmaya, the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, which is really the last parak of Pirkei Avos, but Chazal do that, I hope, Mirtz Hashem next week. Okay, but the fifth parak of Avos, some really nice teachings, and let's begin. Again, the order of the Mishnayos and the breakdown of the Mishnayos is different sometimes in different editions of Pirkei Avos, but in the edition that the Baal Shem Tov's Torah is printed in, it's Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah says, Asara Doros Minoach Vad Avraham. There were 10 generations from Noach to Avram. First, the Mishnah talks about 10 generations from Adam to Noach. Then there were 10 generations from Noach Vad Avraham. Lahudia Kama Erech Apayim Lefanov, to show just how patient HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when the whole world, Shekola Doros Hayu Machisin Uvain, that all of the generations were angering Hashem as time went on, until finally Avram Avinu came. And he took the schar of all of them, all of that wasted potential. Okay? So the Baal Shem Tov has an interesting teaching here about the nature of Avram, but really also about the nature of the people who Avram was trying to influence. Asara doros minoach ad Avram. Ad Avram haya olam misnaig ba'afela. The Medrash says that until Avram Avinu arrived on the scene, the world was operating in afela, in darkness, in thick darkness. Shelo hayu tzadikei hador malamdim es b'nei dorim orchos Hashem. Because even the tzadikim of the generation, and again this is very Baal Shem Tov, even the tzadikim of the generation were somewhat more self-serving, until Avram Avinu came and he served as a light to guide people. V'lo mavakshim aleihem rachman. We don't find that in the proper way. Again, you could say, what do you mean? Noach tried to be makar of his generation, but very unsuccessfully. Avram Avinu tried to be makar of people, and he was very successful. So somehow Avram had this unique ability to shine a light upon people. Mikevon Shaba Avram Hischil Aheir. When Avram came to the world, he finally started to shine light upon the world. L'lamed es b'nei doro es darchei ha'avoda ba'avodas habor yisbarach. U'moser nafshor la'orer rachmei shemayim al b'nei doro. He began to teach people the way of avodas Hashem. He was Moser Nefesh in order to daven on behalf of the generation. Ad ki gam ba'ad ha-ra'im v'achatoim anche sedom v'amora hu mispalo. Hu mevakish rachim aleim. Avram Avinu was even willing to daven for what? For wicked people, like Sodom and Amora. B'chol zos hine bidoro shel Avram Avinu nikra ha-amon v'gam yishmal am hadome l'chamor. And yet the people, as much as Avram was working diligently to inspire them, even his own son Yishmael is compared as an Am Hadoma Lechamor, as the Gemara says about Yishmael. They're a nation that is compared to a donkey. A donkey is a stubborn creature and not so receptive. And even though Avram made a big difference, right, we know Chazal painfully tell us that after Avram passed away, many of his Bali Tshuva went back to their old ways. Aval Bizeri Yisrael Nikra Ha'amon B'Tor Am Ha'aretz. Very interesting. While we call Yishmael and the descendants of Yishmael a nation that is compared to a chamor, the descendants of Yisrael, the Jewish people, even the simple ones, are called Amaratzim, Ame Ha'aretz, and Am Hadome La'aretz. What does it mean? And Chavra, again, I think this will resonate with us in a strong way, especially in light of how downtrodden we feel right now. Uma Ha'aretz Ha'kol Dorsim Aleha. Just like the earth, everyone tramples it, everyone steps upon it, and the Jewish people, unfortunately, are sometimes beaten down by the world. And yet, at the same time, the earth beneath our feet, which is stepped upon, the Am Haaretz, we're compared to the ground. At the same time, we have, just like the earth itself has this koach of tzmicha, this ability to produce and to grow, la tzmiach yuvul, to produce produce, lahachios es kol achai, to bring forth food, to sustain all beings, al pnei adama, uva nimtso otzro zaha v'chesef v'kol yakarim v'chemde sevel, b'machmedeh sevel, and contained within the earth is also gold and silver and all sorts of other precious things that are found, the desirable things of the earth. Kach Yisrael, asher kepele charimon rakasech. Like it says in Shir HaShirim in the fourth parak, the source, the pasuk's not correct. It's not the sixth parak, it's the fourth parak, I believe. It says in Shir HaShirim on the words kepelech, like the splitting of a rimon, like the splitting of a pomegranate, so is your rakasech, literally your brow, your forehead. But the Gemara darshins shegam harei konin meyiras elokim, even a Jew who's rake, who's empty, who's rakasech, who's empty from real yiras shemayim, is still nonetheless is like a rimon, is maleya mitzvos karimon, is filled with seeds like a pomegranate. And even those Jews who do mitzvahs with such pashtus, with simplicity, bepashtus the amuna pshuta, even the Jews that we would call ame ha'aretz, but they're producing, they're sprouting. A simple Jew, a downtrodden Jew, a trampled Jew. A Jew is compared to the earth itself, but just like the earth is able to produce so much to sustain the whole world, so too an am ha'aretz, even the simplest Jew, is like the ground. Sometimes despised by the world, but at the same time has so much, is able to produce so much, even with such simplicity, with amuna pshuta, the depths of amuna pshuta, to make a difference in the world. So therefore, we're not an am hadoma lechamor, we're an am hadoma laaretz. As it says, like the Navi Malachi says, ki siyu atem eretz chefetz. You will be, you are, like an eretz chefetz, like a desirable piece of land. And again, even though the earth is sometimes stepped upon, but the earth eventually sprouts. And that's very much the story of the suffering of the Jewish people, and yet the ability of Klal Yisrael to produce such important things in the world, even from the simplest Jews. Okay, the next Mishnah tells us, Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu. We know that Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests. Va'amad Bekulam. And Avram Avinu, again, when a person goes through a Nisayon, they get knocked down. But Avram Avinu was able to be omed b'Nisayon, to be able to withstand the Nisayon, to be able to draw new strength from the Nisayon. Lahodia kamachi baso shel Avram Avinu alav hashalom. And all of this, of course, is to display the awesome chiba, the love that Hashem had for Avram, and the love, of course, that Avram had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was able to withstand those challenges. However, what happens when a Jew goes through a Nisayon? There's an idea that's rooted in Torah's Baal Shem Tov. Many of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov developed this idea in different ways. Everyone from the Mu'orei Naim, who's on the screen right in front of us, quoting the Baal Shem Tov, to the Kozhetzer Magid has several Torahs in the Avodas Yisrael, where he speaks about this theme. The Oiv Yisrael speaks about it as well, I believe. That when a person goes through a Nisayon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away all of their madregos. Which seems so unfair, right? Meaning, you're throwing me onto the battlefield, but you're taking away my weapons. But that stripping away of a person's milos and leaving him in a very raw state, and yet from that place of sort of emptiness, again, he's still able to dig deep and overcome a challenge. That's the greatness of a Yid, who's omed b'nisayon. The Pasuk says by the Akedah, v'Elokim nisa es Avraham, that Elokim tested Avraham. Amr HaBal Shem Tov, Zecher Tzadik Levracha L'chay Olam Haba. Shebe'ez HaNisayon La'adam Hu Bebechinas Histalkus Hadas. Chevra Klal Yisrael is going through an unbelievable Nisayon right now. I don't have to tell you that. And there's a feeling of, I can't even think straight. I don't know what to think. That's the very nature of a Nisayon. When a person goes through a Nisayon, a person enters into a state of Histalkus Hadas. He feels like his mind is discombobulated, it's disconnected. Das means connection. There's a histalkus adas. There's a withdrawing of a das, of a clarity. Ubir bezel lashon akasav, and the Baal Shem Tov explained that's what it means. V'halokim nisas Avraham. It doesn't say that Hashem tested Avraham. It says Hashem's name Elokim tested Avraham. Elokim, we know, is mochin dekatnus. Elokim represents midas hadin, constriction, or in a mental state, small-mindedness. Ki adua, as is well known. Va'oz nisa es Avram kishahayi v'chinas ha-katnos. And it was dafka when Avram was what? Was in a state of katnos, Hashem tested him. Because again, to test the tzaddik with all of his madregos, of course he's going to be omed b'nisayon. He's a person who has all the tools in the world to overcome the nisayon. But to really prove that my core is with Hashem, when Hashem takes away all of the tools that I would use to overcome the Nisayon, and I'm left totally stripped bare, with just kind of my emunah pshuta, and I'm in a state of katnus hamochin, and there's a level of disconnect. Like Avram on the way to the Akedah, there's a famous vart, a beautiful vart. I think it's rooted in part in the Zohar, but the Shem Yishmuel brings it. It says that when Avram is on his way to the Akedah, Vayar es Hamakom Merachok, he saw the place from a distance. Pachever, you know that Hamakom, of course, is the name of Hashem. Hamakom Yenachim Eschem, Besoch Sharav Leitzion Yerushalayim. Right? So Vayar es Hamakom Merachok means that Avram saw Hashem from a distance. Meaning on the way to the Akedah, Avram felt disconnected from Hashem. And yet he was still doing what he needed to do. So that's what it means to be Omeid B'Nisayon. When a Jew doesn't have the regular kochos that he would expect to take with him, again, onto the battlefield of life, and Hashem takes those away, and he still goes out. Like David HaMelech with his little slingshot, you know? And he's fighting against a giant. He's fighting against Goliath, this warrior, this fierce warrior. Right? And little David HaMelech, without his armor, is able to destroy Goliath, that David, who's Malka Mashiach, is able to overcome Goliath, a lashon of Golios, of Golos, right? That represents a Jew's ability when he's in a state of katnus to nonetheless be big. And that's, again, that's kind of like this Am Ha'aretz idea. That the Am Ha'aretz, the simple Jew who stepped upon, at the same time is able to sprout, is able to somehow produce a great state of smallness, of katnus hamochin, a Jew who doesn't have his regular tools, and yet that histalkus hadas, with that disconnect, is still able to reconnect, it means to be omid b'nisayon. And Chevra, the Mori Naim and others explained that every Jew who goes to b'nisayon is exactly in that same situation. The tests of Avram Avinu are the tests of Klal Yisrael. So you should just know that when you're in a b'nisayon, you're wondering, why do I feel so much weaker than I usually feel? Why do I feel like all the tools that I acquired to help me to be a good Jew have been taken away from me? That's what happens when you're in a b'nisayon. You're stripped bare. You're left with just kind of that raw emunah that defines the essence of a Jew. Okay, Mishnah Hey. Asara nisim nasu lavosenu b'mitzrayim v'asar al hayam. The Baal Shem Tov wants to teach us, based on a toldos Yaakov Yosef in Parsha Sav, Baal Shem Tov wants to teach us, how does a nes work? This is an amazing idea. What happens at the moment of a nes, and how does it impact time and the world moving forward from that point? Okay, so listen to this. B'shem Rav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, inyan neis hu shenis chadesh hadavar b'pam rishon ala teva nikra neis. What is a neis? The first time something new happens, something that seems to go against teva, against the natural flow of things, that's called a neis. So when you expect the water to remain in its place, and the water splits, and Klal Yisrael walk through b'soch hayam b'yabasha, that's called a neis. But once it's happened in this world, even though at the moment it happened, it's miraculous. But once it's happened, so now it becomes part of teva. Va'achar kach nasa zet teva gamke. Now that it happened in the physical world, it's part of the natural world. V'chein mevi sham b'shem ha'arizal, v'chein shamati mipi harav Rav Moshe Bar Nachman Kosover. Amasha Amru Chazal. With this, we can understand why it is that after a miracle happens the first time, it happens more easily the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time. They say the same thing, by the way, about learning. When a person is mechadesh an idea in Torah, once Rabbi Akiva Eger said the idea, so now it becomes easier for Alex to say the idea on his own. What do I mean on his own? He didn't read Rabbi Akiva Eger. He came up with the same tarets as Rabbi Akiva Eger. But once Rabbi Akiva Eger brought that Mitzias down to the world, so now it's easier for other people to tap into it. So once that neis happened in the world, so now it's easier for other people to tap into it, which is why we have stories in the Gemara anywhere, in Chulin, of Tanayim, who were able to split water. Because once Hashem made that Mitzias in the world, the neis of Kriyas Yamsuf, so it becomes easier for others to follow in the footsteps of Klal Yisrael, to walk in the derech of that neis. Now it's part of Teva. So Rav Moshe Kosover explained, "Biyom." The Chazal say that "Biyom shenifkadu Sara imenu, nifkadu ima kama akaros." On the day that Sarah, at the ripe old age of 90, was able to what? To become pregnant, to have a child. So many other barren women were also blessed with children. Chavi, remember the Maamar Chazal, right? When Sarah saw miracles, her ability to give birth, so other women who had suffered from infertility also, were zochet to give birth. Explains Rav Moshe Kosover, Ein ha-perish shenifkadu ima kama akaros bo bayom. It's not that on the day that Sarah became pregnant or the day that Sarah gave birth, right, many others followed in her footsteps. The imkein eino muchach shapkida hu b'shvil Sarah. Because then it's not clear that Sarah is the one who's responsible for all of these miracles. So Sarah became pregnant. But at some point afterwards, there were many other women who had struggled to become pregnant who became pregnant also. If everyone would have become pregnant at the same time, then maybe the miracle was caused by someone other than Sarah. Sarah Imenu opened that channel, opened that pipeline. The miracle came about through her tefillos and through her tzidkus. And it was afterwards that what? Any woman who struggled to have children and then was blessed with Zara Shel Kayama, was blessed with a child, from the time of Sarah until Mashiach comes, Hakol Hu Al Yidei Oso Hatzinor Shepascha Sarah. It's all in the zchus of that original nace that Sarah, so to speak, brought to the world. And Chavra, it's such an important thing to realize. When you're Mechadesh, so you're not only, you know, helping yourself, so to speak, but you're creating, when you have a new derech and avodas Hashem, when you create something new in a holy way, again, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu does a nace for you in a unique way, so now you've made it easier for others. And the same thing is true in avodas Hashem. So Hasemes brings in several places that when Yosef HaTzadik was omeid ben Yisrael with Eishes Potiphar, so he makes it easier for all of us to be omeid in our nisyonos. A tzadik has the ability, when he passes the test, to make it second nature by a Jew. So therefore, when we experience the miracles, right? Sometimes we're able to experience it even more naturally, and that's why sometimes it doesn't feel like there are miracles in our life, right? By Sarah, it was a big miracle. By us, it's teva. It's only teva because it's a miracle that's now become part of our story. Okay, so just an amazing insight into the way that that nisim work, and the way that once that channel has been opened, it's easier for us to try to tap into it. And maybe even if we don't have the zchuyos of the tzaddikim before us, it can still, it's not out of reach that we should be able to access those channels. Okay. The Mishnah continues, Mishnah Ches. Asara dvarim nivru be'erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos. 10 things created on Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos. What are they? Pi ha'aretz, the opening in the ground that Korach and his chevra were swallowed up by. Pi ha'be'er, the well, the miraculous well that traveled with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, Pi ha'ason, Bilam's talking donkey, v'ha'keshes, v'ha'mon, v'ha'mateh, v'ha'shamir, v'ha'ksav, v'ha'michta, v'ha'luchos, right? The rainbow and the mon and Moshe's staff and the shamir worm, which was able to cut through rocks and to be able to eat through rocks, the ksav and the michtav, both the writing and the writing utensil that was used to carve the luchos and the very luchos themselves, all of these things were created at that miraculous moment, Bein HaShmashos of Erev Shabbos, as the world was transitioning from Friday into the first Shabbos of Shabbos Bereishis. Okay. Says the Baal Shem Tov. Let's think about the mun for a second. The mun was one of the miraculous things that was created on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashos. So let's think about the man. Asara dvarim nivra be'erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos v'haman. And one of them is the man. The pasuk says about the man, and this comes from Rav Yevi, the Rebbe Rav Yevi in his commentary on Tehillim. We mentioned him last week as well. One of the Tamid Baal Shem Tov. V'yotza ha'am v'loktu dvar yom b'yomo. The people would go out and they would collect the man each and every day. The Baal Shem Tov said an amazing thing. There's a certain tzchus that an ani has that an ashir doesn't have. Baal Shem Tov explained, Shemati b'shem Rav Yisrael Baal Shem, sheyesh zechiyah la'ani. The ani has this chus because of his impoverished state, shebechol yom yesh lo reshus ledaber lifnei ha'melech malchei ha'mlachim ha'kadosh baruch hu. Because the ani is living from one day to the next, he doesn't have any money in the bank. So the ani, so to speak, wakes up each morning and he cries out to Hashem, Rabbono she'olam, give me the food to be able to make it through the day. Because a wealthy person has what he needs, he doesn't daven that seriously. But the person who literally doesn't have what he needs is given an opportunity to talk to Hashem in a way that's more real on a daily basis. And that's not only true for a person who's what? Who's impoverished in terms of money. It's true for a person who's impoverished in terms of their health, impoverished in terms of their intellect, right? The guy who chops the shear in 2 seconds, he takes it for granted that he chops the shear. But the guy who's struggling in shear wants to understand, it's more likely that he's actually going to have a real conversation with Hashem. Hashem, please help me to understand my Rebbe's shir. My friend understood Toso so quickly. I went over it 10 times, I still don't have a clue what it's talking about. I went over it 100 times, I still don't know what it's talking about. So because of his difficult situation, the Ani is more readily prepared to talk to Hashem. But Pam Achas Ashiras Harbe, the rich person gets his mazonos, gets a big check from a business deal, and he's set for a long time. Shayadai Kol Yimechayev, he has what he needs forever. It's hard for him to daven in a real way. Ve'eino Tzach Legashas Levakish B'chol Yom Mizonos Meis Hashem Yisparach. He doesn't need to come to Hashem each day and say, Hashem, you know, I'm down on my luck. I need parnasa. However, if he's a tzaddik, even if he's wealthy, he won't squander the opportunity to talk to Hashem. Rak imu tzaddik harbe, v'yesh lo seichel, shegam kishyesh lo mazonos. If he's a person who's a deeply spiritual person, even if he has food, so he'll be able to dive into Hashem in a real way. Im chas v'shalom lo yitin Hashem yizbarach chayis besoch mazonosov l'farnaso lo yo'o klum. Because a tzaddik understands that even if I have the food, even if I have the money, it's not going to help me, it's not going to sustain me if Hashem doesn't want it to work. And the raya of that, the proof of this idea, is a chol ha-sheyesh l'mazonos, ve'eino yochel l'farnes es atzma bo'os l'mazonos. Take a person who's sick, right, with a certain type of illness, that he has food, he's got plenty of food in the kitchen, and yet none of it seems to be able to what? To help him. He has such terrible stomach bug that all the food in the world, he can't, it's of no benefit to him because of his situation. So we need to daven to Hashem that even the money that we have should be able to be used properly, that the food that we have should be able to sustain us properly. But the ani, because of his difficult situation, she'ein lo ma'alecho, because he's in a shasad chak, because he feels the pressure of life, and because he doesn't have what to eat, he talks to Hashem each and every day. Hashem, I need your help. So, chevra, for the ani whose life is difficult, he has a big schus. He's in a position where he gets to talk in a sincere and real way to Hashem every day. He needs to get Hashem's attention on a daily basis. To send him, how am I going to get food today? How am I going to get food tomorrow? But to the wealthy person, Hashem, this rich person, Hashem gave him a lot all at once. He doesn't need to think about him anymore. That was the curse of the Nachash. The Nachash would eat the dirt, which is readily available, but that meant he had no relationship with Hashem. Ki kvar nasan lo b'pamachas al kol yimechayev. The rich person has the credit card. He already has everything that he needs, and because of that, it's harder for him to have a real and sincere relationship with Hashem. So the gift of the man, right? Is it, why does Hashem have to give us food every day? Isn't that burdensome, both for Hashem, so to speak, and certainly for us? And the answer is Hashem wants us to check in with him every day. And that's an advantage that an ani has over an usher, that the ani needs to talk to Hashem. But that's the biggest chus, that he gets to talk to the Melech Malchei Melachim on a daily basis. Okay, here's one of my favorite Torahs from the Baal Shem Tov on the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos. I think it's just such a... The question itself is so interesting. The Mishnah says, Arba midos b'holchei beis hamedrash. There's four types of Jews who come to learn. There's a person who's holech ve'ino osa. He comes to the beis hamedrash. He hawks around. He doesn't really learn very much, but at least he showed up. It's worth something. Schar halicha biyado. He gets schar for showing up. Ose ve'ino holech. What about the person who stays home? I like to learn at home. I don't bother going to the Beis HaMedrash. Okay, schar maisa biyado. He gets credit for doing, but he didn't get credit schar halicha for going to the Beis HaMedrash. There's a person who's holech ve'ose, who comes to the Beis HaMedrash and he uses his time wisely. He's a chassid. And then there's lo holech v'lo osa, and he's a rasha. A person who doesn't go to Beis Medrash, he doesn't accomplish anything in the Beis Medrash, neither does he accomplish anything at home, he's a rasha. This person's no good. He's wasting away his life. He's not taking advantage of the gift of a life of Torah. Not at home, not in the Beis Medrash. Chaver, what's the question? What's the Baal Shem Tov's question? There are four types of people who come to the Beis Medrash. What do you mean? Arba midos b'holchei beis medrash. There's four types with regard to going to the beis medrash. This is not a type of going to the beis medrash. He doesn't go to the beis medrash, and he doesn't have any shaychus to the beis medrash. At least the guy who, let's say, doesn't go but learns, so he creates his virtual beis medrash, right? Right now, I'm not in the beis medrash. Right now, I'm in my basement. Some of you in your home, some of you in your dorm rooms, right? But we created the virtual beis medrash, and that's a chashuv thing. That's a chashuv thing. But a person who's lo holech v'lo osa, why is he one of the four types who go to beis medrash? He has no shaychus whatsoever to the beis medrash. That's a great question. This is from the Notzer Chesed, which is the Rebbe of Kamarna on Pirkei Avos. So he brings in the Baal Shem Tov. Lo holech v'lo osa, maze choshev v'holchei beis medrash. Why is this called one of the types who goes to the beis medrash? He doesn't go. B'chlal doesn't go. And explains the Baal Shem Tov that the Ra mavchin hatov, that from the Ra a person comes to what? Comes to clarify the Tov, the contrast of dark and light, the contrast of evil and good. The fact that there's a type of person who chooses not to have any shaychas to the Beis HaMedrash helps us to better analyze the goodness of those who go to the Beis HaMedrash. In other words, the fact that someone is not learning Torah right now makes the Torah that we're learning more significant, not only in our eyes, but in the eyes of Hashem. Because Hashem says, well, look, I see that some people choose to not learn, and some people choose to learn. So in fact, the schar that we're getting right now, in contrast to the person who's not taking advantage of this time, at this very moment, is increased. Our schar is increased. Ki im lo haya hara, lo haya nikar atov. Because without that possibility of someone choosing not to go to Beis Medrash, not to learn Torah, we wouldn't be able to appreciate those who choose to learn Torah. Ki yisron ha'or min ha'choshech. Like the comparison, like the distinction between light and dark. V'lachein gam ha'rasha v'ashota nikra meholchei Beis Medrash. So therefore, the foolish person and the wicked person is also called amongst the holchei Beis Medrash. Why? Ki me'ashota hazeh isa ta'alusa l'chachma. Because from look at his negative behavior, look at this person who doesn't learn Torah, look what type of person he is. And look at this guy who learns Torah, look what type of person he is. And therefore, Amar Maran, therefore the Baal Shem Tov explained, Shekema'at yesh kawach le'ra la'alos ha'yedei zeh, that in a certain sense, that becomes the tikkun. The fact that this person, right, who chose not to go to Beis Medrash, creates a greater hisoris for the one who does go to Beis Medrash, that itself is part of the tikkun for the one who didn't go to Beis Medrash. He has a purpose now in the world to serve as what? As that comparison for those of Beis Medrash. Aval misham oridcha ne'um Hashem, amen. There, HaKadosh Baruch, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, in Perek Mem Tes. Misham oridcha ne'um Hashem. But from there, he will be brought down. In other words, yes, not really from the whole Chai Beis Medrash, he's going to have to answer from it. He's going to have to answer for it. On a certain level, the fact that we can use him to compare, to say some Beis Medrash, some learn Torah, and this one doesn't, that gives us a greater appreciation of what is happening in the Beis Medrash, and that itself serves as a partial tikkun for this individual. Okay? All right. Here's a Gevaldik teaching. An amazing mashal from the Baal Shem Tov. Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu. The Mishnah teaches in the fifth parak that if you have these three character traits, so then you can call yourself a true Talmud of Avraham Avinu. And if you have these three character traits, then you're a Talmud of Bilam HaRasha. What are the character traits? Ayin Tova, V'ruach Nemucha, V'nefesh Shefela, Mitalmidav Shel Avraham Avinu. If you have a good eye, and you have a humble demeanor, a meek spirit, you're not a person who's a Baal Taiva, always chasing after things, and a person who has a humble soul, so then you're a student of Avraham Avinu. But if you have an Ayin Ra, and a Ruach Gavoa, you're full of yourself, and a Nefesh Rechava, and a soul with all sorts of unholy cravings that can never be satisfied, so then you're a Talmud of Bilam HaRasha. And then the Mishnah says something extremely strange. Ma bein Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, the Talmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. What is the difference between a student of Avram and a student of Bilam? What? What kind of question is that? You just told me a Talmud of Avram Avinu is a person who has a good eye and a humble spirit, and a person who's not a Baal Taiva, right? And Bilam's the opposite. So what do you mean? Ma bein talmidav shel Avram la talmidav shel Bilam? What's the difference between the two? And then the Mishnah answers, talmidav shel Avram Avinu, they eat in this world, and they inherit Olam Haba, Ochlim b'Olam HaZev, and Noichlim b'Olam Haba, as opposed to talmidei Bilam, they're Yoresh Gehenim, and they go to Be'er Shachas, they go straight to hell. What were we asking? What are we answering? So the Baal Shem Tov explained the following. Right? What do you mean? What is the difference between the two? Avram and Bilam are worlds apart. What's the Mishnah even asking? So he gives the following mashal. He says, imagine a sar who hired people to work in his field. And because he wants them to work with a lot of energy and a lot of drive. So what does he do? Arach lifneihem su'uda gedola, lifnei tzeisim la'avoda. He placed before them, he prepared for them, a beautiful meal before they go out to work. So they come to the su'uda, all these big strong men, and all of a sudden they look around and they see there's some na'arim, they see there's some young guys at the su'uda. So they turn to the mamuna, the appointed official over the work. They talk to the one who's in charge of the all of the workers, and they say, "What's going on here? Well, what's the problem? Ma'usim kananar? What are these little kids doing here? What are these young guys doing here? They don't know how to work. Hare ein he mesugalim lavo. They don't know how to work in a real way. Nenu hamivugarim va'amru. Madua ein he mesugalim lavod. Hare gam heim chashuvim kimivugarim. So the response is, "What do you mean? They also know how to work. They also know how to work." Sorry, I said it a little bit backwards. The people in charge, right, when they see some of these young guys show up, so they say to the older, the stronger, you know, more established workers, "What are these guys doing here?" And the older guys say, "What do you mean? They also know how to work. They may be young, but they've got a lot of potential. You'll see. Put them to work. You'll see that they're great workers." Okay. So they're sitting there, fressing away, eating the big meal in order to get their energy to go out to work. Okay. All of a sudden, they go out to the fields, and they see that what? That the older fellows are working, the younger fellows aren't doing anything. So the officials in charge say, "What's going on here? Madua ain't an arm osim klum." They say to the strong, able-bodied men, "What's with the young guys? Why aren't they working?" So the older fellows say, "What? They're just kids. They don't know how to work." So, whoa, hold on a second. When I served the big fancy meal, you told me, take these kids seriously, let them eat the meal because they know how to work, treat them like adults, but now they're out on the work location, and all of a sudden now, no, they're just kids, leave them alone, right? La'achila u'l'shtia haim k'gedolim, u'l'avoda haim k'tanim. Well, when it comes to eating and drinking, they eat like adults, but when it comes to working, they're just little kids. So explain the Baal Shem Tov, using this mashal. Why is it that sometimes, and it's just a true insight, why is it that sometimes people have tremendous strength for unholy things or very regular things, and yet when it comes to what? To spiritual things, all of a sudden they don't have the strength. Where does that come from? Hinei yadua ki ha-resha mishtamshin b'chol amidas haros l'tovasam heim. The Rishayim are very creative and very capable at taking all sorts of midos and using it in a way that benefits them for eating, for drinking, for making a lot of money, for wasting time. They have all sorts of, everything is mapped out and it's thoughtful and it's well planned. Yesh lehem ayin gedola. They have broad vision of how they're going to be able to live a carefree lifestyle. Shekol ma sheyesh lehem eino maspik lehem. They're never satisfied with what they have. Leolam einam sveim v'tam hei mevakshim od. If they have $1 million, they want $2 million. If they have two, they want four. They have a ruach gavoa of an nefesh rechava. They're full of themselves. Right? They have all sorts of midos ros that they use to what? To try to fulfill their heart's desires. Ula'umas ha-tzadikim, and on the flip side, tzadikim take the same midos ros and they use it letova. Because instead of the tzadik having a broad eye for gashmias, he has a broad eye for ruchnias. Ki yesh lahem tzadikim ayin gedola b'ruchnias. A big eye, a grand vision when it comes to ruchnias. Right? The tzaddik is the exact opposite. The Rasha says, "Ruchnias, I'm satisfied with very little, but in Gashmias, give me a lot." The tzaddik takes the exact same kochos and flips it around. In Ruchnias, I want a lot. In in Gashmias, I'm satisfied with very little. Shekam Hashem Ovedim as Hashem Ma'atu Lahem Mishrokakim Lachahena Vachahena Vachain Kol Amidos Hanal. That with whatever degree they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's small in their eyes, and they want more of this, and they want more of that. And that's how they operate with all of the various midos. Their whole life is trying to enhance the Kedushas Hashem. And therefore, that's what the Chacham are asking. The Chacham say, Ma bein Talmidei Avraham Avinu and Talmidei Bilam HaRasha. They're both using the same midos. What difference is it? How do they end up in such different places? If they're both using Ayin Tov and Ayin Ra. And the answer, says the Mishnah, is because the Talmidim of Avraham, Elu Ochlim Ba'olam Hazev and Ochlim Olam Haba, Mikavan Shem Mishtam Shem Midos Haraos Latova Ba'olam Hazev, they take those bad Midos and they use it in a good way in this world, Kedei L'kabel Schar Olam Haba. But Bilam HaRasha takes those same Midos, that same passion, that same drive, and he uses it all up on the cheap pleasures of this world, to the point that what? That when they come to Olam Haba, there's nothing left. And that's like this mashal. That's the mashal. Oh, let the kids eat and fress away and enjoy. Right? But all of a sudden you tell them to work. No, go easy on them, they're little kids. So why do you have so much energy for one thing and no energy for something else? Why is it? I always love this line where Victor Miller said, I never saw anyone falling asleep in an ice cream shop. I never saw someone sitting with a bowl of ice cream or an ice cream cone and dozing off. We've all seen someone do that in front of a Gemara. So why is it that when it comes to what? When it comes to Gashmias, all of a sudden I'm alive, I'm awake, I've got energy. And when it comes to learning, all of a sudden I'm so tired, I'm so lethargic. I open my sitter and I'm half asleep. Well, I'm checking ESPN.com to see what some guy did last night. So all of a sudden I've got all this energy. And now what? I open up my Gemara and all of a sudden I'm so, I need a rest, I'm so tired. Where does that come from? And the answer is, it's just a question of how I channel the Midah. It's a question of what I put my drive into, what I put my energy into. The same Midos that Avraham Avinu's Talmidim use are the same Midos that Bilam HaRasha's Talmidim use. They just use it in very, very different ways. And therefore, don't be a katan when it comes to Avodas Hashem and a gadol when it comes to Gashmias. Learn that if I have the strength, to stay up late studying for a college exam, so then I also have the strength to stay up late. What? I have the strength to stay up late learning Torah. It's a machayev. If you could stay up all night to prepare for a final, so you could stay up all night Shavuos to learn Torah. It should be obvious that we have that ability. It's just a question of channeling those kochos in the right way. Okay, and chaver, last but not least for tonight, a beautiful and famous Mishnah, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Have oz kanamer, we should be bold like a leopard, kal kanesher, we should be swift or light like an eagle, ratz katzvi, fast like a deer, gibur ka'ari, lasos ritzon avicha shabashamayim. And in order to do the will of our Father in heaven, and the parak end, yiratzom lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetivne ircha meher b'yameinu v'sein chalkeinu b'sorasecha. What does it mean that we should be oz kanamer, kal kanesher, right, to move about with zeal, to move about in a quick way. So let's learn one of the ways that we're able to navigate our way through this world. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kuf Yotes, Chishavti derachai, I contemplated my ways, va'ashiva raglai alidosecha, and my feet guided me or returned me to your mitzvos. I contemplated my ways, and my feet took me to serve you, Hashem. What does that mean? Efshar lahavin pasik de bezerach mashal. Maybe we can explain with the following mashal. The Yetzahara is rodef tamid es ha'adam, u'menase kol hatachbulos. The Yetzahara chases after a person and tries to what? To test him with all sorts of tachbulos. What's tachbulos? Strategies. The Yetzahara has all sorts of strategies to trick him, to trick us with his Yetzahara, with his bad advice, to trap us. Va'adam osa kol kedei lechaletz mimanu. And a person spends his whole life trying to outsmart the Yetzahara, to wiggle away from him. V'hine yesha adam rotze lekum bashkamas avoker. Person says, I want to get up early in the morning to learn Torah. He's all excited. He's got goals for himself. And then outside it's cold. And outside it's rainy. Right? But he knows the Yetzirah is going to try to convince him, go back to sleep. Don't get out of bed. It's too cold. It's too rainy. It's not necessary. So how do you outsmart the Yetzirah? If I get up in the morning and I say, I'm going to shul, the Yetzirah is immediately going to attack you. Miyad yifkabo menuval zeh, the Yetzirah is going to pounce upon you. Vayaschilis garosbo, uledabra libo, the Yetzirah is going to try to respond to you. And he's going to try to incite you. He's going to start up with you. And he's going to say, come on. Halo yadati ki chalush hincha. He says, come on, you're an old man. You know you're a weak person. You know you're going to catch a cold. You're going to be stuck in bed for weeks. It's not worth it. Don't go outside. You have to put on your boots and your hat and your gloves. Too much. By the time you get there, you're only going to be able to learn for a couple minutes anyways before you have to go to work. What's the point of getting up early anyways, going to the base medrash before davening? What's it all worth? And the Yetzirah tries to deceive you and say, yeah, if you try to go today, you're going to get sick, and then you're going to be in bed for a week, you're going to miss out on your learning. He comes up with all sorts of clever explanations. And therefore, says the Yetzirah, better you should rest a little, take it easy, you'll see, you'll be able to learn better tomorrow. It's all a trick of the Yetzirah. And there's all sorts of tricks that he comes with. So you know how you outsmart him? Listen to what you do. It's a great piece of advice. Lachain ein adam tzarech lachshov, shukam l'shem shemayim. Say to your Yetzirah, no, I'm not getting up early this morning to learn Torah. I'm getting up early this morning to work on my business plan. I'm getting up early this morning to do something for myself. Don't tell Yetzirah I'm getting up early to learn. He's going to fight you. Say, I'm getting up early for whatever mundane purpose. Eliyachshov b'libo shukam b'ashkama. Say in your heart, I'm getting up early so I can get a good head start on my business. I want to put more hours into looking over my stock portfolio. That's why I'm getting up early in the morning. And then the Yetzirah says, oh, okay, that's why you want to get up early? No problem. Then the Yetzirah will stop paying attention to you. And then when he's not looking, then you run to the Beis HaMedrash. Says the Baal Shem Tov, that's what David HaMelech was saying. Chishavti derachai, when I contemplate my ways, and then the Yetzirah leaves me alone, then, v'ashiv ra'aglai elidosecha, then I could sneak off to the Beis HaMedrash. And it's an important technique. When I confront the Yetzirah head on, so then he fights back. But if I tell the Yetzirah, no, I'm getting up early to check who won the games that took place late last night. Oh, that's what you want to check? No problem, get up as early as you want. And then once I'm already out of bed, then I can run to the Beis HaMedrash, and I can outsmart the Yetzirah in that way. Okay, so that's part of what it means to be oz kanamer kal kanesher, right? To be brazen and to be tricky and creative, like a leopard, and to be swift like an eagle. Use a little creativity, use a little subtle trickery when it comes to the Yetzirah, and then you'll be able to sneak off to the Beis HaMedrash. Okay, these teachings. The term Amma. Aretz means an amazing term, unique to Klal Yisrael. We're not an Amma Doma L'chamor. We're an Amma Aretz. We're trampled at times, but we always sprout, just like the earth itself beneath our feet. We spoke about the nature of a Nisayon, how Avram Avinu, in his 10 tests, he's stripped of his Madregos and has to fight Hashem from a very raw place to be Omid B'Nisayon, and Avram Avinu was able to rise in those occasions. We learned how Nisim work. That when a nes takes place, it opens up a channel for all future miracles to take place more easily in that similar fashion. And we spoke about the schus of sometimes being poor, because when I struggle, it makes it easier for me to have a real conversation with Hashem. And that's part of what the man was all about. And then we learned that even the person who doesn't go to the Beis HaMedrash, in a sense, deserves to be acknowledged as one of the people who enhances the Beis HaMedrash, because by his not coming, it gives greater chashivas and purpose and meaning to those who do come. And then we explain how the Talmidei Avram and the Talmidei Bilam use the same kochos hanefesh, but they direct it in very different ways. And lastly, we learned an amazing technique to be able to outsmart the Yetzirah, to be able to better serve Hashem. Okay, so we thank the Baal Shem Tov. I thank you guys. We thank the Baal Shem Tov for inspiring us with these awesome teachings on Pirkei Avos.